inside Pharaoh to hear off before they open it. So Pharaoh's like, I got him pinned. I've got him. I can't let these people go. He chases after them. He plays his part. He is so driven to stop them from leaving that he's willing.
And he sacrifices his entire army because of this. He's so driven. He's driven mad with stopping, with preventing Israel from leaving him. Because he's not willing to heed the voice of the Lord. And he's playing his part. And all history remembers him playing this part. He had a choice to make. He had a choice to make. And he's unfortunately choosing it poorly. So that's one king whose implications affected an entire nation. Because after this, we see what's going to be the result of Egypt. They are, as Steve Doty puts it, a smoking hole when he leaves. They are never going to rebound from this. They are never going to be a world power as they once were. Never again. They're going to be replaced by others. So, but because of the implications of the part that their king played, that's the result. So let's turn to Jonah. Let's look at a king who made a good decision and the implications for his kingdom. So Jonah chapter 3. Just look at that chapter. It's pretty short. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach to it the message that I will tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. The word of the Lord came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, do not let them eat or drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let every man, every one turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and will relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he would send, that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. So here you have a situation where this king, who played his part, when opportunity arose, when the prophet came, the word of the Lord was presented to him. You have Jonah coming through the city, yet the 40 days and Nineveh is going to be overthrown. Well, the reaction from this king was, first off, the people believed God. They put on fasted, put on sackcloth, and from the greatest of them to the least of them, and the kings included. It says, then the word came to the king, and he arose from his throne and sat, laid aside his robe, and covered himself with sackcloth and ashes. He responds accordingly, and so much so that he writes a decree. He puts it that all in Nineveh. Need to neither man nor beast taste or drink anything. Now I'm just picturing how hard and how difficult that would be to not give your. I mean, my dad's worried about feeding my neighbors and my nieces pigs. Like we were talking, joking about it, but trying to you got to take care of animals. Like this is a constant worry, a constant bother, and it's like he's saying, don't let them taste anything, and they've gotten engrossed. So he believed that message. And that not just, like I said, from the least of them to the greatest of them, from the king down, they all believed it. And so what's the implications for Nineveh? Now, I know if you want to fast forward to Nahum, it's destruction for Nineveh. But at this point, at this time, the implications were that that city was spared because of the decisions, that the role that that king played and its impact. And so much so that even Jesus references this and defines for us what repentance means. And he references this particular instance. Why? Because the role of that king and how he heeded the voice of the Lord. He heeded the words of the prophet. So, all right, so those are two examples in the Old Testament where people, how it affects the course of a nation or a course of a group of people, what the decisions that the king makes. And it made me think of another passage, and I remember talking to Mr. Brian Shawstall about this one before. Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18. You know, when we're kind of contemplating free will and predestination and all this, the role that man plays, you know, is the decisions that he makes. This particular scene is one that comes to mind. Jeremiah 18. I want to read down to 1-11. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made out of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy. If that nation against whom I have not spoken turns from its evil way, I will relent of the disaster that I will cause, that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it. If it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good which I said I would benefit it. Now therefore, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. So there's this instance where we have tells Jeremiah to go to the potter's wheel, to the potter's house. And here, before the potter, he's making the clay that's in his hand is marred. And he's really referencing the fact that Israel and Judah, in this particular case, they have become marred in the potter's hands because they've chosen this course. And he lays out, much like, Ezekiel 18, it's like he's laying out if a nation or a kingdom, if a nation whom I spoke and turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster. If they heed it, I will relent. But in the case of Judah, they're not going to turn. And this is like the very last part of the potter's wheel here. They're about ready to fall off of it. They're about ready to go into destruction because their choices, they're not changing course. And he brings it up again. He says, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return, every one of you. Because the whole group has played their part from the king down and have not decided to heed the voice of the Lord. Because they're playing their part. And it's going to be recorded for all history that they were marred. And what God's going to do is So he made it again in another vessel, as it seemed good to make the potter. He's going to make another vessel, which we know what that's going to be. That's going to be all of us sitting here today. A new covenant's going to be brought onto effect because the first one was marred in his hand. All right. So they're playing their part through history. Those kings, those people, they're playing their part. And really, You know, those examples are there for our learning, for our understanding, from whom the ends of the ages have come. So let's turn over to 2 Timothy. Let's get a little more relevance to New Testament. Individuals playing their part. Second Timothy chapter 2, 14 to 26. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive against words to no profit, to the ruin of hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed against the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of the Christ depart from iniquity. So I want to stop there. So a great picture for us of a diligent worker, a diligent workman. And he says, he puts this charge before Timothy. And he says, don't strive about words to no profit. Okay? To the ruin of the hearers. But be diligent. Show yourself approved, a good worker. One who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. So that's the picture that as a workman, as a steward of the Word of God, that's the picture that we need to have. But it's interesting how Timothy, in this epistle to Timothy, he names Hymenaeus and Philetus. He names them as individuals who, as this point, like spread like cancer. And we all kind of know the effects of cancer. You know what happens to the body. It's it's a dysfunctioning cell basically. It expands. It spreads. And he says it spreads like a cancer. It expands. And he says, and their message spread like cancer. He says they are those individuals. It says they have strayed concerning the truth. And furthermore, and they've overthrown the faith of some. So they have influence and they've strayed from the truth. They're believing a lie. And so that's why he says you got to be on the lookout for these characters. Those who are playing their part, straying from the truth, overthrowing the faith of some. So that is the part they're playing. So let's keep reading here. He says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, and correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So, the reason I really appreciate this verse, and I think that made me think about when I put the lesson together, is the question comes up to what kind of vessel do I want to be? Do I want to be a vessel of honor or dishonor? Do I want to, it says in a great house, there's two types of vessels. There's lots of individuals playing their part. Do I want to be a vessel of honor? Do I want to cleanse myself from the latter? Do I want to be useful for the master, prepared for every good work? That starts with a choice. That starts with us making a decision. I'm available. I'm available to be a vessel of honor. Now we have this treasure in earthen vessels, because it's not necessarily this. It's what's within this person that makes him honorable. It's because the Lord who dwells within us makes us those vessels of honor. So, and it really leaves it with a picture there of what a gentle servant's like and what our opportunity is. And that, you know, I it's a servant. He's not quarrelsome. He's gentle to all. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have discussions and argumentation, but you're very patient. You're working through the questions or the oppositional points that are coming from various angles when you're Bible studying with folks. You're being patient in this process, and through humility. Now again, that's humility is it's under control, what correcting those who are on opposition. It's a humble situation. It's under control. It's under as he says there, humility correcting those in opposition. And why would I want to do that? Why would I want to take that approach? Well, the picture there is, if God will perhaps grant repentance, so that they may know the truth. Our objective is that in order to be those vessels of honor, we want to have that in the forefront. That's the goal. My effectiveness is going to be measured on that I want them to know the truth. I want them to come out of it. And furthermore, I want them to be able to escape the snare of the devil. He's held captive them. All the world, everybody we interact with is, for lack of better terms, they're led around by the hook. I think I remember Jay talking about the hook, but that God makes us look upward, you know, he pulls us upward. He's always pulling us upward. But in a lot of ways, I picture this snout on a steer, and they just grab that ring, all the world is held by that. They're just led around to whatever direction they're going to go by the devil, and we want to give them an opportunity to be able to break that chain. We want them to be able to give them the opportunity to be able to have a choice, and that's really what we're presenting before people. We are providing them an opportunity for a choice. There is another course. There is a way to no longer follow the dictates of this prince of the power of the air, but to have an opportunity to follow the Lord. And so that's the part we play. The question is, again, do we want to be vessels of honor? Do we want to carry that message? And that's a question we need to ask ourselves daily. Do I want to be a vessel of honor? And I think all of us here should say yes. So I'll pray for breakfast, and we'll move on to that. All right? Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, we're blessed and thankful to be here, thankful to